This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Oh, my goodness. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. We are always here for you. Yes, we are, in this hour period, to talk with you and to receive your questions or comments through social media. So let me give you the ways in which you can join us today. If you are in North America, we have a toll-free number for you. Let me give it to you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Matthew Gubensky will take your call. He'll get you up on the board. Now, if you're outside of North America, you can use this number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That is the out of North America number to use. Country code 1-205-271-2985. We're also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Chat feature there. Use it. Put in your question or comment. Let us know who you are and where you're located. And if you're not listening to us via Facebook or via YouTube, tell us how it is that you're listening to us. It's amazing to me. Many people just like to go out there and use the chat feature to put in their question or comment because they don't want to go on the air. But I do have to tell you, we're very, very friendly here. And if you're a first-time caller, we will ring our first-time caller bell for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. We do love having that holy conversation with you. I live for it. I look forward to this moment. I certainly do. Always eager to have a beautiful holy conversation together. And that's kind of the way that we operate. We operate that way here on the air, on radio, and it's sort of the way in which we operate on our television program that airs Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I tell all of my guests that are coming to be with me on our television program that, you know, all we do on this set is to have holy conversation. I don't machine gun questions to you. That's not my job. My job is really to showcase the way in which the Lord is using you to proclaim his good news and to really emphasize that. And so we have holy conversation. And I'll tell you, I've had some marvelous guests. I've been doing this for ever so very long. I've been doing radio since 1987, television here at EWTN since 1988. I have interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And in most cases, those people have books. So I have read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books on the topics that we're discussing with our guest. But all of that being said, this interaction that we have on radio is like a real sacred space. And that's how I consider it to be. We certainly are in the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Lady coming together in the name of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is with us. And just beautiful things happen right here on Women of Grace Live. So do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Toll free for you here in North America. You can also text your question or comment. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. Matthew Gubensky answers the phone, but Pedro Quiles, he does the retrieving of our text messages, the retrieving of our EWTN Radio YouTube channel and Facebook page, what you leave for us in the chat feature. We'll get it up there no matter how, and we will address what is on your mind today or take your comment. We just love the interaction that we have for you, as I've been saying, in this first block of our program today. Also want to remind you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. I'm up there, out there right this very minute. I'm looking at it. And the very first thing that comes up there is our 40-day novena for Lent. And when I say comes up there, it's in our slideshow, our 40-day novena for Lent. So we want to invite you to join us in this 40-day novena for Lent. You can sign up now. You can sign up tomorrow. You can sign up at any time. It's a 40-day novena for Lent. And it's 40 days of masses for your Lenten journey. Did you hear that? 40 days of masses for your Lenten journey. And since the holy sacrifice of the Mass is held in the eternal moment, right? It means that even if you join us a few days late, all of the blessings that were attained through the masses that came before you signed up are still applicable to you. Now, I'm not suggesting you wait until the very last day. I'm not really sure that shows very good intentionality. But the fact of the matter is, we want to invite you to join us for our 40-day novena for Lent. And all of the information is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. That's plural on women, all one word, womenofgrace.com. Additional to that, you're going to find out about our first study in the New Moments with Mary study series, Who is Mary? We want you to order your copy today. It's such a beautiful, beautiful study in every way. I mean, the study book is beautiful. The contents are lovely. The graces that God wants to dispense upon you through this study are ineffable. They're indescribable. You can just go out to our website. You can order it there, and you can join our online study group or start a study group in your area. We're always happy to have you joining one of our study groups, but we also want to encourage you to begin a study group in your own area. What a beautiful gift awaits you when you say yes, when you give fiat to the Lord, when you surrender some of your time, right? And certainly the maternal nature of your heart, the maternal beatitude to these women, beautiful things happen. And of course, our Blessed Mother imbues you with her maternal beatitude. So it's just a real cooperation between the leader and our Blessed Lady, and then our Blessed Lady working through the leader and working through all of the other women that are present in the group. I'll tell you, it's really quite grace-filled. So we want to remind you about that. And of course, I want to remind you about what is coming up this Friday. Oh my heavens to Betsy George. It's going to be just absolutely fantastic. And what is coming up? Well, our Young Women of Grace online event, 14 girls. It is number 3 in the slideshow. You're going to see it listed in the upcoming events on our homepage. You can also click on events in the nav bar. You can read all about it. It is going to be lovely. We're going to be discussing with them virtuous friendship, walking in love, growing in grace. That is this Friday, March 7th, the first Friday of Lent, 7:30 p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So adjust it for your time zone. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful gathering of young women. We want to invite moms to come. We want to invite grandmas to come. We want to invite aunties to come. We want to invite godmothers to come. But bring your teen girl with you. I can assure you they're going to have a very good time. It's going to be just lovely. Cindy Westbrook, one of our premier Young Women of Grace facilitators, is going to be presenting it along with some of the young ladies from her own Young Women of Grace group. And I'm excited to say my eldest granddaughter, Julia, is going to be present as well, participating. She is in her second semester of her sophomore year at Ave Maria University there outside of Naples, Florida. It's going to be just a lovely opportunity for these beautiful, beautiful young women who come together. It's free. It's free. It doesn't cost you any money. So sign right up at our website, womenofgrace.com. In the meantime, give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. We're going to come right back and be with you. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. You heard the phone number there. Let me give it to you again. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us toll-free right here in North America, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. I'm looking forward to receiving your call. calls today. Yes, I am. What a pleasure it is to have the privilege of speaking with you right here on Women of Grace Live. If you're a first-time caller, as I like to do, I'll ring my first-time caller bell to welcome you to Women of Grace for your debut. You can also text your letters or your comments rather to us. The way that you do that is by texting the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Know that data rates and message rates may apply. In addition to that, we are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment. Insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, we'll get it retrieved. Was sharing with you about some of the upcoming events at Women of Grace. We've got them all listed for you there, and I invite you to get out there and check it out. Do want to remind you about our Young Women of Grace event coming up this Friday night. It's going to be a beautiful time. I can assure you that your daughters will learn a lot, but in addition to learning a lot, I think that they are going to have a great deal of fun, and we like to do that. You know, if I were to give you three words, I think that describe our Women of Grace events, it would be faith, fellowship, fun, in that order. Faith, fellowship, fun. We certainly do enjoy ourselves. And, I don't think that the saints were dour people. I think we sometimes think that saints never had a good time. Well, I have been blessed to know many holy people, very, very holy people. And I wouldn't doubt for one minute that some of them are in heaven already. And every single one of them seemed to have a good sense of humor. These people were funny. They were not dour. They weren't sour pusses. You know, they weren't that at all. They were very merry individuals, happy. And I'll tell you why that is, because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Leon Beloy, who was a philosopher of the early 20th century, made a statement, and he said that joy is the ineffable sign of the presence of God. And I've also seen it translated. He was French. I've seen it translated. Joy is the ineffable sign of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the saints understood the Holy Spirit. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Of course they did. Of course they did. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus, to his apostles and our Blessed Lady after his ascension into heaven, the first Pentecost. It was a joyful event at that first Pentecost. They were filled to the brim. They were so imbued with the joy of the Spirit that the people that saw them thought that they were drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, but they were not drunk. If they were drunk on anything, they were drunk on the Spirit of the living God, right? So, you know, people are incorrect when they assume that saints didn't have a good time, that everything about the saint was misery. No, not true. And the saints had a very good sense of humor, very, very good sense of humor. I'll point you to some of the people that I have known in my life that I think were very holy people. And you probably know some of them. If you didn't meet them in person, you knew them by way of EWTN television. Of course, I'll start with our foundress, Mother Angelica, a very holy woman. But who could doubt that Mother Angelica had a sense of humor? It was evidenced in her programming, wasn't it? I mean, she laughed. She made people laugh. She was a jokester. She certainly was. And I know on very good authority that she was a practical jokester. She was a practical jokester. You know, I think that the sisters in her religious order, I mean, I just think they had a very good time. There was no room for misery there in the sense of being just, you know, one of those persons that the glass is always, you know, half empty rather than half full. Mother Angelica always saw the glass as half full. Even when it really was half empty, she saw it as half full. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's spiritual insight. I'll give you another one. I had the great pleasure of knowing Father Andrew Apostoli. I'm telling you, what a joyful man Father Andrew Apostoli was. You know, just a great gift. I interviewed him on radio. I interviewed him on television. I drove him around one time. And, you know, I'll tell you, he was just delightful. Delightful in every way. Just delightful. Another one, Father Benedict Rochelle. Now, he could show his grouchy side. Yes, he could. He was a New Yorker through and through. He cut to the chase in many things that he said, but he was also very humorous. He had a great, great funny bone. So, the saints were not dour. The saints were full of joy. They were filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So if you are a joyful person, you know, you can look at that and you can say, gee, you know, I think that the Spirit of the living God is upon me. Amen and hallelujah. So at Women of Grace, it's faith first, fellowship second, and fun third. And don't you think it was kind of like that with Jesus and his apostles? I think it was. I think Jesus, he had to have a sense of humor. Look at the crowd that surrounded him. I mean, first, the crowd of disciples. He picked them, you know? He picked them. And I mean, he just had to keep smiling because sometimes I think he would have gotten really frustrated if he wasn't smiling, right? If he wasn't looking at the fact that the cup was half full. Not to say he didn't have his moments. Of course he did. He was a human being. You know, he was true God and true man. So he had that human dimension. He had human nature. So there was that. But then again, you know, look at the crowds that surrounded him. You know, I mean, even when he was correcting the Pharisees, I think oftentimes it was tongue-in-cheek correction. You know, I mean, it was tongue-in-cheek. You know what I mean by that, right? You're delivering a really harsh word, but at the same time, you know, you're humored sometimes just by the sheer ignorance that's standing in front of you. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, what do you do with this? You know, the joy of the Spirit. So, you know, that also is part of our Young Women of Grace event too. Fun. We have fun. So anyway, all of that being said, don't be afraid to have fun, even though we're coming up to a penitential season, right? And I think that penance, this season that we begin tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, is really a time for reflecting. It really is. It's a time for reflecting on how nearly am I desiring to allow our Lord to have free reign with me? How willing am I? How willing am I to adjust my perspective to the perspective of the Lord? Am I willing to put faith foremost in my life? Or does faith take second place or third place or fourth place or even a lesser place in my life? Do I have numbers of things that come before faith? And here I just don't mean going to Mass on Sunday. No, I mean living your faith. I'm reading a book right now by Father Edward Lean, L-E-E-N. He was a theologian of the early 20th century as well. This book was published in 1938. I think I mentioned it the other day, Why the Cross? And he talks about that. He talks about that in the beginning pages. He talks about the misery of the world. Imagine now, this book is published in 1938 by Sheed and Ward. And he's talking about the misery of the world. And you would think, as he's describing what he's seeing, that it was our world today. Our world today. And he was saying that, you know, it is not the province of the church to influence political, jurisdictions, to enter the political realm. It is not that. What is the province of the church is to shape and form, according to the heart and mind of God, the people who occupy the positions in the political realm. The church's aim is conversion of heart, metanoia. And what is that? That is patterning ourselves through an intentionality of heart, mind, and soul after our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And that's what Lent is all about. That's what Ash Wednesday begins. This time of intentionality, intentionally seeking to pattern ourselves after the one who is the way, the truth, and the life by walking in the way and the truth and the life of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I apologize to those of you that are out there on social media. I have a Kleenex in my hand. Suddenly, I was having a coughing fit. We do have the beginning of budding things here in Birmingham right now, and so that always leads to pollen. We've got Jim with us. Jim is in Dayton, Ohio this morning, and I am ringing my bell for Jim. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Johnette. I've been waiting for you for a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much for being patient with me.
Okay. Basically, I just need some prayers. I've been married to my wife since 1982. We live in the Dayton, Ohio area. And sometimes she just has fits over little stuff. Like
yes.
if I forget to take a bath, which I usually do, but I am forgetful. I have Alzheimer's disease.
Yes.
And that kind of gets her goat. So basically,
yes.
I just need prayer. I need
yes.
I need my wife to come back to the Catholic faith and the sacraments. So I'm a
yes.
member of the Piqua Parishes, which is located just north of Dayton.
Yes. Well, James, we're certainly going to pray. We're going to pray for your wife, and we are going to pray for you. I don't know what it's like to experience Alzheimer's personally, but I do know what it's like to watch someone you love go through the progression of Alzheimer's. And my mother, died of Alzheimer's. And we watched her go through these various stages. And initially, of course, you don't quite understand what's going on. And you can grow impatient. You can grow frustrated. And then once you know what's going on, the various manifestations of the disease do not lessen, they intensify. But in addition to that, now that you know what the difficulty is, well, that also produces a different kind of suffering for the person. And that suffering has to do with watching the progression of the disease. And oftentimes, I will say this, it is difficult to manage the emotions because you're feeling, it's devastating to watch that process in someone you love. It's devastating also to know what it is that they must be going through, and you feel absolutely helpless because there's nothing that you can do. And if you don't have a deep faith, it is very easy to fall into impatience. It's easy to fall into irritation. It's easy to become frustrated to the point of saying things that you wish you didn't say. And perhaps that's where your wife is right now, given the fact that she's not practicing her faith. And of course, that's the most important component to bearing a cross. And this is a cross. I mean, the cross is greatest for you, because you're the one that is suffering from the Alzheimer's, and you are the one who is, that. You're at that stage where you understand what's happening, and it has to be very painful to realize that. And also to see that, it's producing this kind of a response from your wife. And so that's very painful. So I'm gonna pray for the two of you, but I am going to pray in a very pointed way that your wife is able to make peace with that which has caused her to leave the church. And I know what that is because you've shared that with us in the past. And friends, Jim and his wife had a special needs child. The special needs child was in Catholic school. Catholic school did not have the program to be able to help this child at a certain point in time. And so the school, said that he had to be withdrawn from that academic institution. And Jim's wife suffered, as a mother would suffer, greatly, again, feeling the pain of her child in her own heart. And she grew angry at the Catholic school and by association, she grew angry with the Catholic Church in general, and she basically stopped practicing her faith. And I can tell you, Jim, you know, whenever that cross is in our life, the cross of watching a loved one suffer, the cross of feeling helpless to change the direction, that sense of being out of control, and yet still trying to control, if we don't have faith and know that God's in control of the whole misery of it, then we can grow very sullen. We can grow very depressed. We can grow very, very mean, and we can grow, in animosity, even towards the one that we love so much. But I think it's misplaced. I think all of that is anger at the situation and the disease. And it's for your wife, it's piled on pile on pile on pile, going all the way back to that which needs to be healed in her heart from that first sense of rejection that she felt. And so, Father, it is that we come before you in this moment and we lift up to you your son, Jim, and we lift up to you his wife. And Father, you know the whole of the situation. I don't have to explain it to you because you see beyond what I possibly could ever see. Through your omniscient gaze, you understand the whole of it. Father, through your omniscient gaze, you can see and peer into the soul of Jim, into the soul of his wife. You can see there the misery. You can see the lack of contentment, the lack of peace. You can see those areas of apprehension. You can see those areas, Lord, that need to be healed. And that's what I'm asking for Jim's wife, Lord. You know, you know, Father God, how best to help your daughter to be healed. I know she has to accept the grace of healing, Lord. I know that she does. But I also know, Lord, that because you are omniscient and you know all things, you know exactly the way to approach her. You know exactly the means to use to begin this process of restoration in that part of her heart that feels this rejection so greatly. And you know, Lord God, I'm sure that she's feeling it's you that's rejected her in the end. But we know that you never abandon your children, Lord. And so in the way in which you know is best, I'm asking you, please, to approach your daughter in some way that she understands that it is you, in some way that she understands that it is an act of love on your part. Take away the scales from her heart, if you would, Lord God, the scales from her eyes, the cataracts and the callousness of nature that's been taking control. Father, soften it through the power of the Holy Spirit and bring resolution to this. And bless your son, Jim, Lord. Bless him, Lord God, and give him patience even in the midst of his suffering. We thank you, Lord, for you are all good and all wonderful. Amen. We're going to be right back, friends. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So very, very happy to be with you today. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Here we are. We're in the second half hour of our program, and oh my goodness, I just love spending the time with you. Our phone lines are all available right now, so please do call in and ask us a question, give us a comment, you know, ask for prayer, whatever is on your heart and your mind today. We had Jim with us right before the break, and he was telling us about his wife, and I'm going to add a little addendum to my prayer for him in just a moment, but I want to give you the number that you can use to call us today. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. I mean, it's a good deal, isn't it? Toll-free, and you can be on the air. And so we invite you to use that number. Also, letting you know that we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there and put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. We have Pedro Quiles is doing the retrieving. Matthew Gabensky on the phones. Our producer, Rich Jesse, in studio at EWTN. If you're a first-timer, I'm going to ring my bell for you. Yes, I am. So let us know if you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter. Do want to remind you about something else, too. Did you know that you can leave a question for us at our listener comment line? It's available to you 24/7. I invite you to use it. Let me tell you how you use it. It's country code 1-205-795-5773. That's country code 1-205-795-5773. 5773. You can leave your question for us. Put in the subject line, if you will, Women of Grace. We'll be sure to get it. We'll address it on the air. We might do a couple of those in a moment or two, Rich, if we've got some that we can listen to. But Jim also let us know when he called in that part of the difficulty with his wife is that she's suffering with a lot of pain in her knee right now. And that when the pain is intense, then she sometimes takes it out on him. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'll bet you that's something that every single one of us can relate to in both directions. You know, because when we're in pain, you know, our patients, oh my goodness, our patients gets tried, especially if it's serious pain, right? Our patients gets tried and we get very frustrated. And there's all of that that's going on. And so sometimes we're very impatient, especially with the ones that are closest to us. And if you're on medication, some medications make you irritable. Steroids would be an example of that. If we are on, tremendously strong steroid therapy for, you know, cancer or something of that nature, the steroids in and of themselves, you know, can just put us into a state of irritation. So that's a suffering, right? It's a suffering for the individual that has the debility. But not only that, but it's also a suffering for the person who receives the brunt of all of that, right? And so in this case, it seems as though, our friend Jim is receiving that. So Father God, I'm just asking that the whole way around, that long-suffering, that fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of long-suffering would be what you give to your son, James, and also what you give to his wife. Please help them, Lord, as they carry this cross. Please help them. Please help both of them. Amen. I want to read you just a little something. Sherry is with us, and we're going to get to her in just a second, so hang on, Sherry. This is something for when we are suffering, right? Suffering, and this is Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, and it's with Jesus crucified, and I think that this is the reading actually for today. It is. And he says this, suffering has a supernatural value only when it is born with Christ and for Christ. It is Jesus who sanctifies suffering. Apart from him, it is worth nothing and is of no use. But if it is embraced for love of him, it becomes precious coin, capable of redeeming and sanctifying souls. It becomes a continuation of the passion. And so, James, I would say that the suffering that you're experiencing because of your wife's misery, I would suggest that you suffer that in union with Christ, who suffered by way of the misery that was inflicted upon him during his passion. Unite it to the passion of Jesus for the sake of your wife, because that very suffering might be what it is that the Lord uses as a means of sanctification and purification for her, a means of healing for her. Because I think that's what's at the root of all of this. Thank you so very much. We're going to go to Sherry. Sherry is a first-time caller. Where is she? She is in Northumberland, Pennsylvania, and I am ringing my bell for her. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm calling because I'm facing a big decision regarding bariatric surgery. I've been dealing with several comorbidities related to obesity.
Okay.
And they have been, crosses to bear in my
yes.
life. I am seeking God's will in this and praying that the surgery would help me to be more healthy and to glorify Christ in all of this.
Okay, Sherry. Well, you know, I'm certain that you've obviously consulted the doctor, and I'm guessing that he's recommending that this might be a road that you want to go down. And I'm
yes.
certain that he's explained to you what some of the benefits are and also what some of the perhaps disadvantages are. You know, I'm sure that he's gone through the whole process with you. And I'm
yeah.
so pleased that you're praying through this decision because I think it's quite an important one. Now, I have to tell you that I do know people that have gone through bariatric surgery, and I don't know what method he's suggesting. You know, there are various methods. One person that I know that went through this type of surgery very early on in the early 80s did quite well with it. And it seemed to resolve the issues that she was suffering with. I know another person who went through it not all that long ago, within the last 7 years, and she has done remarkably well as a result of it. Of course, it does take some time to normalize your body, not only in the loss of weight, but in addition to that, you know, you're setting up a whole different system of operation interiorly with regard to, the way in which you eat and the way in which you can digest food and what food will work for you and what food won't. And so, you know, once the decision is made, then there's also that necessary follow through on the other side of it that's required. But if your doctor is recommending it, and you know, you are seeking the will of God in the midst of it, I would feel very confident to make a decision one way or the other. Now, let me ask you this. I don't know if you have a spiritual director or if there's a confessor or a priest that knows you well that you could discuss it with.
There is a confessor, and I did begin to tell him about making the decision, and I intend to continue to go to him throughout this decision-making process.
That's very good. Now, in the meantime, I suppose that some of these comorbidities that you talk about are serious enough to consider this measure, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I suppose that there's a sense of timing with regard to this in terms of not wanting those comorbidities to increase in their negative effect, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So why don't we just say a little prayer together?
Okay.
And we'll pray for a prudent decision, which I think is what is at the top of your list there. But I also want to pray that, you know, the Lord would, God understands the human condition, right? And he understands the importance of certitude that we like to have. So I'm going to ask that he make his will known to you with regard to this. But one other thing that he understands is time. And he understands time because he created it. He is in the eternal moment. We are not there yet. We are spiritually there when we pray, when we're at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass spiritually, but not physically. And our bodies are subject to time. And sometimes the need to make a decision gets to the point where we have to make a decision. And so I'm going to ask that the Lord, you know, also would in some way give you the wisdom that you need to make the decision in a timely fashion, not to tarry. And also, if there are objections, Sherry, this is something else too. If there's something that's holding you back, what is it? What would be holding you back? Certainly you want to know the Lord's will, but is there something beyond that? Is it fear? Is it apprehension? Is it a worry and a concern about, a new lifestyle, you know? How is this going to impact me as a person, right?
Correct.
Obviously, when we suffer from certain things, we have adopted a lifestyle, and change can be frightening in and of itself. So let's just bring all of this to the Lord right now. And, you know, maybe we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit, even as we begin to pray, to enlighten your mind and your heart that, you know, if in fact you are tarrying in making a decision, because I'll tell you one thing about that I've experienced in my own life, this is that sometimes when I'm reluctant to make a decision for purely natural human reasons, you know, I'll say, well, I'm still discerning what the Lord wants me to do. And it can be a stall tactic. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. I've learned, gee, Johnette, this is what you're doing. You know, this is not good. This is not holy. So we don't want that to be the case for you, sweetheart. So, Father God, we just do come before you in this moment, and we lift your daughter Sherry up to you. And Father, you know, she's facing this big decision. It is a big decision, Lord, because, you know, you've created us in a certain way. And now we're talking about altering that way in which you've created us. But we're talking about altering it, Lord, for an outcome that is potentially the best decision we could make, one that is going to bring us greater longevity, one that's going to bring us bring a greater health to your daughter, one that is going to potentially set her free from behaviors that, while they were not intended to be, were really self-destructive behaviors. And, you know, I just, Sherry, and if I'm prying, you know, just, that's all right. Just, you know, tell me so. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But, you know, obesity has many causes. Some of them are glandular causes. Some of them are matters of genetics. There's a propensity by way of the way in which, you know, nature affects us. But in some ways, too, you know, we bring about some of that suffering, and sometimes, you know, overeating, if that's any part of this, and I'm not suggesting that it is, it might be, but that's for you. You don't have to tell us. If overeating is at the root of this, oftentimes overeating is really a compensation for a malady of spirit, for something that has happened that has impacted us in a great way. I will say that there is a correlation in many cases between overeating and having been sexually abused. And I'm not suggesting that that's the case with you, but I'm using that as an example. Sometimes a feeling of rejection can lead to overeating, because what are we doing? We're trying to compensate through a material good, but using that material good, which is food, in an unhealthy way to make up for the lack that we feel inside. And this is not necessarily a decision, well, I feel really miserable, so I'm going to overeat. It is, you know, an instinctive way to try to quell the pain, because we know that when we eat, we release endorphins and the happy hormones and all of those things. So we get a satisfaction. You know, we kind of ease a craving of the spirit by way of food. And then we begin to crave the food and it becomes a vicious cycle. So it can be, you know, rejection. It can be sexual abuse in the history. It can be the primordial form of rejection, a mother wound or a father wound, a feeling of never measuring up, a feeling of incompetence. I don't know if there is something at the root of this outside of a physical reason, but I want to put that out there because that would be something to work through with your confessor. And maybe the Lord is bringing all of this to a head. Of course, he works on behalf of the whole of our person for a physical resolution. But maybe it's coming to a head now because if there is any of this that's at the root of it, he wants to work this out in you, and he's you know, shining a spotlight now on it. And so, Father, you know that we as human persons, especially those of us that have a deep faith and a deep love for you, we only want to do what is in your will. That's the truth of it, Lord. We only want your will. Even if it doesn't line up with our personal pleasure or our personal satisfaction, we only want to do your will. And so that is the situation with your daughter, Sherry. She only wants to do your will. So I'm asking, Father God, to make it abundantly clear to her what it is that you would have her do. You can bring it about through the words of her confessor. You can bring it about through the words of her doctor. You can bring it about in the inner confines of her heart where you whisper, Lord, what your intention for us is. But Lord, if there is anything emotional that's attached to this, if there's any other reason why she might be tarrying, if she is tarrying, I don't know that she is tarrying, but I'm just saying if she is tarrying, Lord, if there's any reason for that, Lord, I'm just asking that you reveal in the light what's hidden in the darkness. Please show her, Lord, so that if this is an obstacle to moving forward in the direction you would have her go, this obstacle can be overcome. If there's a healing and your will is that she not go forward, the healing is still necessary, Lord, because that could change everything up. We don't know, Lord, but you know. And we're just asking that you make that clear. And I'm asking that it would be made clear through our Blessed Mother. You know, Jesus, I just have to say that, you know, when you walked on the face of the earth, I am sure that you sought the counsel of your mom. I'm sure you did. I mean, she is, after all, the perfect woman, right? Designed, specified by you, the Word, you know? You're the Word made flesh. But you chose your mother from all eternity, and you fashioned her. So I'm sure that you sought, in your humanity, you sought her advice and counsel. And how gratifying it must have been. I mean, look at how you heeded her advice when she said, "Your time is not now, son. Come on. We're leaving this temple. You're going home." Scripture doesn't give us those words, but your actions show that they might have come. Or maybe it was just communicated through a look, you know, mom's looks. Or, Lord, you know, at the moment of Cana, you didn't think it was necessarily your time, but your mother, inspired by your spouse, the Holy Spirit, knew this was the moment. And you heeded her counsel. And so I'm going to ask you, Mother, that, you know, that beautiful gift of counsel that you gave to your son, Jesus, that beautiful gift of counsel, that same beautiful gift of counsel would now be experienced by your daughter, Sherry. I'm asking, Father God, that, you know, just as our Blessed Lady communicated your will to your son, Jesus, as he walked this earth, that now that same daughter, our Blessed Mother, be used by you to communicate your will to your daughter, Sherry. And I thank you in advance, Lord, because you love us so much and you love this daughter of yours so very much. And I thank you, Mother, for your maternal beatitude and the way in which you desire to mother your daughter into this decision. Father God, we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Well, there you have it, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Jeanette.
You're so welcome, sweetheart. I'll be praying for you. You can rest assured I am praying for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll tell you one other thing. I'm going to have a Mass celebrated for you, Sherry.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my joy and pleasure. There's no greater prayer than that. All right, sweetie. Let us know how you decide, okay?
And I will.
And when the surgery is coming up, because, you know, we are your listening family here, and we will all pray for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Bye-bye now. Ah, boy, I'll tell you, our Lord loves us so much, right? You know, he absolutely cannot be outdone in generosity. There's no question about it. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe you have had this surgery in the past, and maybe you've come through it just fine, or maybe there are some words of wisdom that you want to share with Sherry as you went through the process of making a decision. It's very, very important that we stand with each other. And she's in the gap right now, isn't she? She's in the gap of, you know, a decision-making moment. Well, we want to stand in the gap with her, right? And when we stand in the gap with somebody who is in the gap in a different way than us standing in the gap with her, we can be of such great comfort through our prayers of intercession. So I know that you will continue to pray for her, and I will continue to pray for her, as I mentioned. So God is so good. You know, he's so good all of the time. And tomorrow we begin this beautiful, beautiful season of Lent. And it is a beautiful season. And we want to come very, very deeply into, you know, a spiritual union with our Lord, as we journey through this time with him. And that's what Lent is all about. It's journeying with our Lord through his passion, through his death, his crucifixion, through those 3 days in the tomb, to his ultimate resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven. And we do that. And one of the ways in which we show our allegiance to him is the ways that the church gives us, through prayer and through fasting or sacrifice, as well as through almsgiving. But I think, you know, we want to draw deeply into the spiritual graces that were wrought for us by way of our Lord's Passion. And for me, you know, the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, one tremendous way in which we can do that. So I want to suggest to you that if you don't pray the Rosary every day, that that might be a Lenten practice that you want might want to put in place. And may I suggest that through the course of Lent, that you only pray the sorrowful mysteries, asking our Mother to take you into those moments of her Son's life. And that's really in compliance with what Pope St. John Paul II tells us in his beautiful apostolic letter on the Rosary. Also, too, the Stations of the Cross, and maybe there's one particular Station of the Cross that speaks to you deeply. For me, it's the fourth station. And maybe you want to spend a little time in prayer meditating on that specific station. And then another Station of the Cross that doesn't quite mean as much to you. These are beautiful prayer practices. And these are ways in which we can make this time of Lent, a time of real metanoia, a time of real conversion in our heart, leading us ever closer to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Lady. What a beautiful vessel to make that journey in, the Immaculate Heart taking us to the Sacred Heart of her Son. Well, friends, it's always great being with you. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow. It's Wednesday, Sue Brinkman, Wacky Wednesday here tomorrow on Women of Grace Live. Until we're together again, may God bless you. Bye-bye. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Bye now.